Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Mike Andrews, and I'm a life group leader at the Mount Vernon campus. I had the privilege of speaking to our church last Sunday about a topic of my own choosing, and I thought, you know, the holidays are such a joyous, festive time. We should talk about suffering. Yeah, I know, it's not the merriest or happiest of topics in the world, but I have to be honest, 2018 had some pretty low points for me and my family. Now, there have been many blessings in the midst of some significant pain, and we had an incredibly joy-filled Christmas in our home, but there was an ache from that suffering that was an undercurrent of all of our festivities. Now, because I'm fairly certain I'm not alone in that, I wanted to share some much-needed reminders that our pain isn't pointless. We looked at 1 Peter 1, using verses 3 through 9 to say that the purpose of suffering is to flex, forge, and focus our faith. In verse 6, we see that trials test the genuineness of our faith, but notice there it's not saying it shows off our faith, it tests it. This isn't referring to the end result, but the process itself. As a physical analogy for flexing, I don't want us to think of a bodybuilder showcasing a perfect physique, but more of the training in the gym that produces that physique. Hebrews 12:11 says that discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The Greek word there that the author uses for trained is gymnazo, the same word from which we get gymnasium. The idea there is clearly that something that hurts can bring about a positive change. In the gym, we get tired, our muscles ache, and we see a positive benefit from that. It's where we strengthen weakness and further enhance our strengths. In our sufferings, God's doing the same thing. He's building our understanding of who He is. Consider one of the most famous sufferers in the Bible, Job. Now, after everything that Job went through, God never said, "Hey, you know, Satan and I had this conversation." Well, what He told Job when he finally showed up was, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Then He spent four chapters telling Job about who He is. After hearing and considering all of this glory and majesty from the Lord, Job responded with, "I know you can do all things and no purpose of you could be thwarted, and now my eyes see you." See, God didn't give Job answers to any why questions he may have had. He gave him a bigger picture of himself. Now back in 1 Peter 1, we see that genuine faith is described as one that has withstood trials and is more precious than gold that has been tested by fire. When gold is in the refiner's forge, it isn't consumed, but it softens, which allows the impurities within it to rise to the surface where they can burn off or be skimmed away. The gold becomes more valuable than it was before it went into the fire. The same's true of us spiritually during suffering. When the heat's turned up in our lives, we're much more malleable and able to see the sinful patterns and behaviors in our lives that need to be removed. The forging process also makes metals more durable. The fire has prepared them for the job they're intended to do. Once we come out of the furnace, we have some perspective on what it's like to be in it, and we can look back and see where God was throughout the process. Paul expresses something similar in 2 Corinthians 1, saying, "We're comforted in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those in any affliction." Suffering enables us to sympathize with others and walk with and encourage them through their trials. Now, conceptually, the metaphors of the gym and the furnace might help us endure adversity, but the purpose of suffering isn't merely to grit our teeth and get through it. 1 Peter 1 continues by saying our trials should result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, you believe in Him, and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. How can we possibly have inexpressible joy when suffering overwhelms us? Well, we have to focus our faith on Jesus. In Hebrews 12, we're exhorted to look at Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Hear that? Joy in the face of overwhelming suffering. But what was this joy? I think the answer is found in Isaiah's prophecy of the suffering servant. "Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous." The joy in Jesus' suffering was the many he would make righteous, including you and me. Because of his death and resurrection, we now have a living hope to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us. And we can be certain, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, that this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In Jesus, we have a high priest who's able to sympathize with us. Whether or not you're suffering today, but especially if you are, take a moment to pray to him and cast all of your cares upon him, knowing that the cross shows how much he cares for you. Father, life is hard and often confusing. We're so thankful that you're not a God who is far off, that you have drawn near to us. Jesus, thank you for becoming flesh as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You suffered the weight of punishment against our sins so that we wouldn't have to. By your Spirit, help us to remember your great love for us in seasons when life is hard and we are afraid. May your promise to never leave us or forsake us comfort us in every valley, trial, tribulation, and storm. For the glory of your beautiful name, I pray. Amen. I'm Mike Andrews, and thank you again for listening today. I hope you found encouragement in this time and will join us again tomorrow for the LifePoint Drivecast. Grace and peace.